that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape,
well, you better hit that.
Chimwits, Chimwits.
That's right, man.
Welcome to the Chimwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And I'm Tony Marinucci, a.k.a. Tips with Tony, your registered dietitian.
So, Tony, welcome back. It's been longer than we had hoped.
I know, too long, but I'm really, really happy to be back.
Yeah, well, we had great feedback on your first episode with us. We're really excited to have you back for more nutrition advice.
Yeah, it turns out, Tony, that you're the most popular member of the Chimwits already.
Already? That's great.
So we have an interesting discussion about dieting today, especially as it relates to fad dieting.
Yeah, so I guess, I mean, this is a really important subject because I think it's prevalent.
I feel like all diets are fad diets in a weird way.
In a weird, well, I guess that's what we'll get to a little bit.
Yeah.
So I guess, Tony, can you tell us, like, what is a fad diet?
Well, a fad diet's usually something not necessarily new, but not heavily researched, let's say, usually. And it's usually a trend. You associate fads and trends as almost temporary. So usually people will look up something and find it really interesting and want to try it, but it doesn't usually last very long. It's like a fad. It kind of fades out.
So how's that different from a regular diet? Or is there a regular diet? Where's the line with the fat between a fad diet and a normal diet?
Yeah, well, I don't even know if there's like a technical term for a fad diet, but when my interpretation of it is, since it's temporary, it's not long term, and it doesn't cater to your personal needs, goals, and wants. So a regular diet, let's say, that's long term or life term, like for the rest of your life, is usually based off of your particular goal set that you need to follow. So for example, someone who's diabetic needs to follow a carb consistent diet. Now that's more long term, because if they don't, then their health will be jeopardized.
So when did the term diet, I'm sure you don't know this answer, but just sort of almost like a rhetorical question, when did the term diet change from just what you eat, because that's your diet. Your diet is anything you eat, to something having to do with weight loss.
Correct.
Well,
really,
when did that happen?
It didn't, though. It's just the perception of how it's perceived in society. A diet is just that, like you said. It's what makes up your nutrient intake. But it becomes defined and has almost got that bad reputation of deprivation or short-term or restrictive. I think media has to blame for that one.
Sure.
Marketing. So I almost answered my next question. So like, why do you think fad diets are so prevalent?
Well, but they promise like amazing results. Like if you didn't have to ever change your eating habits or exercise and you could lose 50 pounds in a month, why wouldn't you? Right. So, you know, a lot of those fad diets usually promise things that may or may not be true, but they're definitely not long term.
Yeah. So what are things people can do to identify a fad diet, you know, as opposed to what would be, you know, quote unquote normal diet?
Yeah. So obviously if it sounds too good to be true, it usually is. So if you can identify something that's a little bit like it makes you question or hesitant, question it for sure and seek a registered dietitian and ask before if it seems too good to be true. Second, a lot of fad diets usually they're very restrictive and they usually focus on like specific nutrients. So for example, if you've ever heard of the cabbage soup diet, they promise you weight loss just by drinking cabbage soup all day. Of course you're going to lose weight if you only have cabbage soup all day, right? And yes, cabbage is very healthy and I encourage people to eat it in their regular diet, but it should be a part of a diet, not just a one single nutrient.
It seems like people keep beating their heads against the wall with fad diets or diets. And haven't we learned by now that they just don't work? Like, why do people keep buying into them? It's not like this is a new thing. Fad diets have existed now since you could market, since commercials existed and since companies have been coming up with ways to make money. Fad diets have existed. So it's not like somehow this new fad diet, it's like they always say, oh, this is the next one, this is the next one. And they've been doing it now for forever.
Yeah.
And it's like, why do people just not get it?
Okay,
just,
so there's...
They just don't want to. They just don't want to accept
twofold.
It.
Right. I think there's that one part where they just don't want to accept it and a lot of people want that easy way out. And then the second part is, I don't... I think they just want simple answers. Because there's so much information out there, they just want to know what to do and do it. They don't want to take the time to learn and put the work in, which is why working with a registered dietitian is so important, because dietitians will teach you how to eat, why you're eating those foods. And it's we work on what's called behavioral change. We're not just handing out a meal plan and saying, okay, follow this. Like, we're actually teaching people how to and why to do it, so they understand the value in it and then stick to it. And therefore, it's no longer short term. It becomes long term. Yeah.
So I've heard a million people say this, and it's sort of the classic. And they almost do the same thing with exercise. Like, well, I just want to get to where I'm happy and then maintain. Yeah. It's like everyone is like, oh, I'm just going to do this crazy crash diet until I'm at a comfortable weight.
Right.
Until I lose 30 pounds and then I'm happy. And then I'll go to eating normal and healthy. Like, why does that not work? And why do people, like, what's with that sort of thinking?
Right.
I know it's very common.
It is very common. And I actually encourage it in certain people to get that jump start, because some people need to see immediate results in order to stay motivated. And once they see results, they continue. But eventually, you're pretty much pushing off the inevitable, right? Because eventually, if you don't learn how to eat and incorporate a full, well-balanced diet, then you're only going to be successful for short term. So it's really, it can be useful in some people, but at the end, you have to be prepared that you still need to learn. So,
yeah, it makes it's one of the more common things I hear from people, and it's kind of I feel like it's not teaching right habits, and you're right. It's like kind of pushing. It's easy to push down the kind of roll it down the down the way, like, oh yeah, I'll deal with that later. But yeah, you're not dealing with the same real.
That concept that we talked about, when you think about your future self, it's almost like you're thinking of someone else. You're not thinking of yourself.
You're not thinking of yourself. Exactly. So you just
put
all the strain and stress onto future you, which you do think of as a different person. You're right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What would make someone think that if something doesn't work now, or if something is only short term, that can get them to a long term goal? It's like if it's like saying even the logic is flawed, saying that, look, I'm going to do a short term solution to get me to a long term goal. Mm-hmm. It's like you're saying that this is a short term solution. So I don't even understand the logic for why someone would even think that this is a long term solution.
If you push the responsibility for the good habits, because you're going from extremes for a lot of people. It's like the extreme, even with exercise, like you go from extreme exercise to not exercising enough. And I've heard the same thing where people are like, I want to work out 6 days a week until I get to a certain point. And it's not being able to handle that middle, that middle area. And there's a rebounding effect. You do too little exercising and you rebound by overdoing it. And then you do too much exercising, you rebound by not doing enough.
Yep.
And there's not a grasp of middle and how the middle will allow for consistency, which then allows for you to maintain whatever you want to do and maintain the realistic kind of goals.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So funny, Ryan always has, we always have a bunch of questions. So what makes dad diets so bad? So are these diets that are just meant for people that are fathers? Or does that mean you only eat fathers, like you become a cannibal and then you eat dads? Is that what a dad diet is?
Sorry, that was a typo.
So the question was, what makes fad diets so bad?
I guess that's what it is.
All right. Well, once again, anything short term probably won't produce, like, first of all, if it's short term, it only is going to provide temporary results. We know this, right? You temporarily do something, you get results temporarily. But it's also bad because usually
it's got to have some sort of negative effect. You can't be like, oh well, I go to this fad diet, well, I lose weight, but it just makes me magical in other ways. I'm sure it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, so it's kind of hard to say because there's so many out there. Depending on the type of diet that someone's following. But what I will say is you're constantly playing with your metabolism. Uh-huh. And the more that you are inconsistent, you're actually going to hurt your metabolism more than if you were consistent. So for example, there's actually studies that show that someone who is consistently overweight eventually actually has a more like a healthier metabolism as they age versus someone who's had like that yo-yo dieting sort of effect. By the time they hit, like, mostly for, it was more a study with women, menopausal women, like their metabolism is worse off because they kind of just like played with it all the time. Because when you're doing that, you're screwing with your metabolism, but then their hormones get involved and there's just a lot of different things that can happen, and your body never adjusts. You, like we were talking about forming habits, your body doesn't really know what to predict, so it's not going to work in your favor.
I don't have any scientific evidence to back up what I'm about to say.
Okay.
No, it'll be it'll be reasonable, but I would believe that if you're constantly yo-yoing with your diet and in depriving yourself and then overeating, depriving yourself, it's going to affect your body's functions. So your energy levels.
Absolutely.
Perhaps your immune system, maybe you get sick more often. Maybe you'll have trouble sleeping, which will, of course, affect all of those as well. So all of these, even just your thinking, your cognitive abilities, when you're not eating right and you're all over the place, how are you going to think straight?
Yeah.
So that's my personal belief. I don't know if there's any scientific evidence to back it up, but I can't imagine that like a constant yo-yo and doing this and that could have a positive effect on your body's functions.
Yeah, no, it definitely doesn't. But I think what you're describing is just poor nutrition. So actually, someone might actually be relieved of a lot of those side effects, like their sleeping habits might get better because that they're following not all fad diets are like not healthy.
Sure.
They're just something that's not realistic and sustainable. So like I said, like the cabbage soup diet, you can't do that long term, but in those 3 days that you did it, you actually will feel more energized and you probably will sleep better. But eventually it's just not going to work anymore. And then it just puts you back into your old habits of not sleeping well and eating poorly. And so, you know, that's where it's hard because there's so many different types of fad diets out there. But in general, you're still, once again, you're never, it's like putting a Band-Aid on something. You're not, there's always going to be that scar. You're not getting really underneath the tissue and figuring out what's going on.
Hmm. All right. So for the three of us, I have a question. Have any of us tried diet? Ryan, have you done a fad diet? Tony, have you tried a fad diet?
I actually, I'm trying to, now I have to think. You
got into it pretty early, so you knew about it from a young age.
Yeah, and I wouldn't call them fad diets. Like, I literally, as it being, becoming a registered dietitian, when I was learning about a bunch of different diets in school, I actually experimented with them, but they're prescribed diets. For example, it's not even a prescribed diet, but the vegetarian lifestyle. I actually was a vegetarian for 5 years. I did vegan for a year. And I did that because I started it because I, which actually we can consider a fad diet because I know a lot of people tell me they want to become a vegetarian because they think they'll lose weight and they can, but that's a whole other, we can do a whole other video, like a podcast on that. So I don't want to go off tangent.
I'm assuming
tangent.
The dad diet is not a vegan diet. Yeah.
But, trademark. So I don't, yeah, I don't want to go too far off track. But what I will say, so I did that because I wanted to be able to experience firsthand what my clients were going to go through. And I've done that before. Actually, something that I'm going to try, but I don't want to do, which is, once again, we could do a whole other topic on, is like a 3-day detox, because I know a lot of people do detoxing, and that's like literally a whole other topic that we can go over. But that's something, once again, I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it so I can better understand my clients and their mindset and what they go through and how it would actually be through that process.
What were your results with when you went? So you said you went vegan?
I went vegetarian for 5 years, and then I was vegan for about a year.
What were your results? Especially as the vegan, I'm curious to know, because that's, vegetarian is not nearly as extreme as going vegan.
Yeah, so I obviously transitioned into it. Overall, I felt really, really great, but the reason why I actually stopped it is because I found out that I have a high gluten sensitivity, and it was very restrictive. Being vegan and then not being able to have like bread and pasta and like all the things that contain gluten in it. I was, you know, overall I felt like very well energized, but I was always bloated and I wasn't sure if it was because of the vegetables, but I actually found out that it was because of the gluten. Mm. So then that's why I transitioned. I call myself a flexitarian now. Mm-hmm. So I don't, you know, always eat meat, but the reason why it's like meat's not bad. It's just without the meat, you have the presence of all the wonderful vegetables. So that's what I kind of call myself now.
Hmm. So now Justin was on a fad diet recently.
I don't know if I would call it a fad diet. I mean, I don't know if it's completely 100% sustainable.
It had all the hallmarks of a fad diet.
Well, there was no calorie restriction. It was basically there was no gluten, no dairy, no sugar. That's the whole, I mean, that's what it was. Basically, except sugar from fruits.
But not for a short period of time, right? It was just meant for a short period of time.
Or some people do it all the time. Okay. Some people do it. There was no legumes, which was sort of, that was a little bit of my beef with it, is that you couldn't eat. And for me, legumes don't, have always been a positive thing.
For me. And it had a name, right?
It was called the Whole 30.
Okay.
Right. But it's
what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, the Whole 30 is a great concept, but once again, not realistic and long term. If some people, like you said, some people can stick to it, and that's fine. Like once I said, not everybody needs to be gluten free, not everybody needs to be lactose free. But if you do have intolerances to those foods, then that would be a good option for you. But once again, just to jump right into it would probably be very challenging. I try to encourage people to slowly progress towards more whole foods. That's the idea of it. You're basically incorporating more whole foods. I would agree with you, though, unless you have a lot of like gas and bloating and GI issues, I don't see why you should remove legumes. They're a wonderful antioxidant and plant-based protein. So I don't know about that. Yeah. But
so,
and I also did, when I was in high school, I basically...
We probably did Atkins trying to lose weight.
Something like that. Well, when I had to cut weight, I basically just ate all, it was just all white meat. Mm-hmm. And fruits and vegetables, no carbs, which was brutal. And I worked, but that was definitely not sustainable.
Yeah, it's usually not sustainable. And you have to forget one thing I should have said before is some fad diets will eliminate an entire food group, and the food groups are there for a reason. You're supposed to work it in and balance it with carbohydrates. Like I said, some people can tolerate gluten and some people can't. So, but in that case, you still want to choose healthy whole grain carbohydrates and just make sure that your choice of those carbs are the right for you. But you're not going to just not have any carbs, because then you're going to lose out on the B vitamins like niacin and folate and so many other healthy, usually fiber, like so many other properties that are there for a reason.
So now we've talked a bit about like fad diets. So I want to talk about kind of obviously with good diets, you know, kind of between the two times we've talked, like we've established that, you know, there's some general things that are necessary for a good diet. And then there are some level of specificity. So each individual is going to have specific things, whether their medical needs or other dietary needs or restrictions. So now what percent of like a quote good diet would you say is more general, and what percent needs to be more individualized or specific to that person?
So it always is dependent on the person's health. Mm-hmm. If they're a healthy individual, they can just follow the healthy parameters for general healthy Americans, which is usually about like 50% carbohydrates, 30% fat, 20% protein. Sometimes even closer to upwards of the carbohydrates. If they're an athlete, those are going to change. If their goal is weight maintenance versus weight loss, that's going to change. And then if there's a medical condition, obviously that's going to change. So it's kind of complicated to like answer that, because everyone's so different. But really there are certain parameters that you can follow that are just like general health that usually are preventative to a lot of those things.
I think that about wraps up this discussion for now. I'm sure we could talk a lot more in depth about it. But just Tony, do you have any just like of your classic tips just when it comes to fad diets and whether to avoid them, you know, whether to jump in or whether, you know, what to be wary of? Just, you know, give us some of your tips with Tony when it comes to fad diets.
Sure. So if the diet is claiming that it works for everyone and anyone, stay away. Okay. It needs to be more broad, more general, include balance of foods. And once again, if you need help, I'd be more than happy to help you figure out if this is the diet that's long term for you. Ask yourself, is this realistic? Can I stick to this long term?
So yeah, definitely. If you guys are considering embarking on a new diet, ask us, let us know what this diet is. If is it named for it? Is it a popular fad diet, or is it very new? Has it been prescribed to you by a dietitian? Or did your friend say, oh, you got to try this new thing, it worked for me, you know, over the last 2 weeks, so you got to try it. So let us know, and we'd love to look into it. I'm sure Tony could give you some great advice.
Great. And so we have a couple questions. So the first one comes from
these are questions for Tony.
Yeah, questions for Tony.
Right? Yeah. So we have a new, we'll call this segment Ask Tony.
So the first question comes from Don and says, love the podcast. They're funny and educational at the same time. I guess Justin's got the humor part. I've got the educational part.
No, I don't know what you're talking about there.
So I'm writing to ask if you guys know anything about intermittent fasting. Have you tried it? I'd like to know your thoughts on the diet and lifestyle.
Sure. Okay, so...
Well first off, yeah. I'd just like to say that every day I fast.
Okay.
Yeah, usually between the hours of about... 12 to 8 or 9.
While you're sleeping.
All right, Justin.
So, it's worked for me so far. I've done it pretty much every day.
Yes, okay.
All right, so I'm going to answer this once with the assumption that this male is an athlete. And because the reason why I'm going to go into that, I don't know. But the reason why I'm going to say that is because intermittent fasting actually can be effective for people that are super, super in the game of dieting. They've already understand the basic concepts of balance and nutrition. Okay. It is not, intermittent fasting is not a fad diet. Okay. So I just need to kind of start with that. Okay. So studies are very new with intermittent fasting, even though people have been fasting for years, religious reasons, you know, just overall. Now, I'm also going to assume that this person wants to lose weight because I don't understand why people would intermittent fast without trying to lose weight, right? So if the goal is weight loss and they're trying to lose body fat, then intermittent fasting actually can be effective, but you still always need to achieve calorie deficit. So some people find that it's easier to think, okay, I don't have to eat from 12 to 8, and then at 8 I can have a large meal and then go to sleep, and that's fine. My concern with that is, even though studies show that it's effective, my concern with that is, once again, if you're not eating for a long period of time, then you have that possibility to overeat, so you therefore are having more calories than your body actually needs. And at that point, you know, is it long-term once again? So yes, you'll probably achieve your weight loss results, but can you actually sustain it? The idea behind it, just so you guys understand, is it's when you're not eating and you're fasting, your body is put in stress mode. And what studies are showing is that it's actually like a healthy form of stress, very similar to what exercise does. So that's why some studies really do support it. Once again, it's very new, and there's not a lot of studies that talk about, you know, basically like fitting in those workout routines. Like, when do you work out? If you have no energy, like, to fuel your body, you know, are your workouts going to be as effective? And it actually reminds me of your question that you had on one of your other shows that I do want to address.
Okay.
Which, so not to get off tangent, but basically about, like you were saying, Justin, about kind of eating enough to fuel, and then you actually will end up burning more calories in the long run. And then Ryan, you were saying like you still have to be in calorie deficit, and that's true. But I think you can kind of couple those together. Like, if you're fueling your body with energy, you'll probably put in more work, but you still need to have calorie deficit to achieve weight loss. Mm-hmm. So once again, with intermittent fasting, it's a very similar concept. You still have to be in calorie deficit, but if doing, you know, maybe 2 to 3 days a week of not eating for, say, a 12-hour to 15-hour period is easier for you, and you think you can maintain that, you know, if you're just doing it 2 to 3 days a week and then the other days you're still in calorie deficit, then you'll have more effective results than being in a consistent calorie deficit 7 days a week.
I'll say that I've never really done intermittent fasting. I've only done it very intermittently. But what I've noticed is when I do a fast until about 3 or 4, right? And I know some people do those types of fasts where they just fast until the afternoon and then they eat 2 meals for the day, mm-hmm. that I'm actually very alert. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have a lot of energy, and actually after my first meal, I feel sluggish.
Right.
So I try to make my first meal light, even though they say actually big meal is supposed to be in the afternoon as opposed to dinner, when a lot of us, you know, or late dinner or supper or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was actually having this discussion about the difference between dinner and supper the other day. But that's what I've always found, is that when I don't eat, I'm actually very alert and I have a lot of energy. And I know other people have reported that as well.
Yeah, and that's where the contradiction becomes, right? Like, if you're having one large meal at one time, you're probably going to feel sluggish. Yeah. But then, so there's two parts to that. The first part is the reason why you feel sluggish after a very large meal is because your blood is being transported to help to the stomach to help with digestion, and it's not being oxygenated throughout the body. So that's why small, frequent meals are most effective and efficient, I find.
Yeah.
And it keeps you alert and energized, and it creates more opportunity for you to have a variety of nutrients for that overall health component, right? And then what was the other part you were saying? So about the overeating.
Well, you could when some people fast until the afternoon, energy and
so, but then also too, if you notice after you haven't eaten for a while, you almost, when you go to eat a large meal, you sometimes can't fit it. There's that process that kind of goes in, is like, actually, you know, is it actually helping you with digestion? So once again, a lot more research needs to be done. Sure. I would not recommend intermittent fasting without guidance. Don't just, you know, make sure you do a lot of research. And once again, be aware that it would be, you know, something temporary. If you feel like you can do this long term and you want to incorporate it maybe 1 to 2 days a week in your entire, you know, for your the rest of your life, or maybe, you know, until maybe, you know, you're done with your fitness journey or whatever it is as you get older.
So just like to say briefly about that, intermittent fasting does not mean not drinking water and not staying hydrated.
Right.
So
yeah.
You have to drink water.
And there's and also too, when you say intermittent fasting, so many people do it in so many different types and different ways. So it really is dependent on the person and what they're looking for, what they're researching and what they're thinking about trying. Once again, it's going to be dependent on the person. And then just a side note, obviously if you're someone who, has very low blood pressure or is diabetic and you don't eat for a long period of time, you have that possibility of your blood pressure dropping or your blood sugars dropping. And that's very, very dangerous and very, very scary. So once again, this is for a healthy individual that's really trying to, maybe even like an athlete that's just trying to get to that next level. That's where this can be possibly effective. But once again, more research needs to be done.
Well, great. So if any listeners have any questions, whether it's fitness or it's diet nutrition, send the questions to thegymwits@gmail.com. We love having your questions. We love answering your questions and helping you throughout your own fitness.
Another awesome episode with Tony.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So Tony, how can people reach you? Where are you on social media? What are the best ways for people to kind of get in touch with you or see what's going on with you?
Yeah. Instagram @tips_with_Tony, Tony with an I. I have a Facebook page, Tips with Tony. I have a Twitter, Tips with Tony. I even have a YouTube channel. So if you put in Google Tips with Tony, I should pop up.
Awesome. And I think Tony's also a member of the Gymwits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So you could just contact the Gymwits and they'll put you in contact with me.
Yeah,
of course.
Awesome. Well, it was great having you, and hopefully we will have you on again sooner.
Yes.
In fact, sooner than we did between the first two episodes. Mm-hmm. But as usual, all of our stuff is at thegymwits.com, all of our social media stuff. And
download the app.
Download the app if you haven't already. There's the last one. We actually had a bunch of downloads because people wanted to try out your workout. So that's the only way you can get it.
My quote unquote workout.
Your workout that you haven't done yet. Anyway, as usual, I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, aka Chef Sonic.
And I'm Tony Marinucci, aka Tips with Tony.
And we are
the Gymwits.